Hey, Matt Rothschild here, in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. You can join our conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I'm joined in the studio again by Angela Lang, who's co-hosting with me all day today, which I'm really grateful for. And we have a text from someone who writes, "My husband had no idea that he was allowed to vote because he was off paper. He cast his first vote during the last presidential election. He's 43 years old. At least he was able to cast his vote then."
Yeah, and I appreciate folks sharing those stories. And this is why things like that are important to be talking about. And don't quote me on the number, but I was just talking about this recently about the I think it's the round 20 or so thousand folks that are actually actively on paper in Wisconsin. And then you start to think of vote margins. And it's just so interesting that, like, I think the way, one of the many ways to try and kind of minimize Democratic participation is folks being able to not vote at all. And so if you just lock up enough people and take away their ability to vote, they can't even vote to change their material circumstances. And that is incredibly unfortunate. And it's heartbreaking. And it's, you know, part of me is glad that, you know, organizations like ours are getting the word out and letting folks know about it. But also at the same time, it's very sad that we have to fill in that gap.
Yeah, and I think the number of people who are who have served their time and outside the prison gates is even larger than 20,000. The number that sticks in my mind is 60,000.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Either way, if you think of the vote margins, it's tens of thousands. Yeah.
We've got a call from Troy from Mount Horeb. Troy, what perspective do you have on this issue?
Hey, first of all, as I always say, you two should have a show.
Thanks, Troy.
Start there.
From your mouth to God's ear.
Exactly. So I'm a 16-year prison guard, and I didn't always, but I agree with you guys 100%. This is ridiculous.
And so why do you agree with us?
It just basically what you said, you know, why would you take away the people's vote just because, you know, they committed a crime, they paid their debt to society. You know, they should be able to move on. I haven't really thought about having people vote when they're in.
Sure.
But, you know, once they're out, for sure, absolutely, they should be allowed to vote.
I'm curious, too, because you said being like a former correctional officer and...
Yes.
What was the thing that changed your mind? Because you also said, you know, I didn't always agree. And I think that, you know, until people like know folks and start to have an understanding, people may not agree with what we just said and what you agree with. I'm so curious of it. Was there an instance or was there a person or, you know, what was the thing that made you kind of change your mind? Or was it just kind of a broader experience and seeing it from the inside?
It'd be a broader experience. Getting out of that toxic environment changed my mind on a lot of things.
Sure.
And I voted for two Democrats from 1992 to 2010, and one of them was a friend of mine.
Sure.
So, you know, and then Scott Walker came in. And I said, okay, I'm not going to vote for any statewide Republicans because of what they did to us. But, you know, I'll still vote federally. And then, like I said, I got out of that. And, you know, my mind has changed. And Trump is awful. And my mind has just changed on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I think I've become a better person since my mind has changed on a lot of those things. So
thanks for sharing.
But, you know, like you said, and I've said this before, but I just don't think we should take away the vote from people in general.
Yeah,
Troy from Mount Horeb, thanks so much for that call and for your unique perspective on this that we don't get to hear enough of. Really appreciate that. Angela Lang, you mentioned before the break this term prison gerrymandering. Do you want to explain that and why it's such an issue?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, so we know the census, you know, every 10 years, and that is able to, you know, bring in resources and figure out where folks, you know, population changes, and that also includes, you know, resource allocation changes. And the way folks are counted, they're not counted in their, you know, where they're home, they're counted as in, you know, the jail or the prison that they're in. And so that's also where those resources go. So you have some towns and some, you know, places who get all these resources for folks that are in jail and incarcerated. And ultimately, sometimes the whole town economy is just based around that prison. And so you see, you know, places like Milwaukee, where there's a lot of Black and brown people who have been incarcerated, those funds and that allocation of resources and how they're even being counted isn't even being counted where they typically live.
Yeah, the more I looked at this, the more absurd it seemed. For instance, if you're a guy in Milwaukee, you're arrested and convicted, you're sent up to Waupun for maybe just a year and a half.
Yep.
And then the census counts you as being there for 10 years.
Yep.
Even if you come back to Milwaukee after your year and a half is up.
Exactly.
And so that's not right. And Milwaukee's then deprived of the resources that are allocated because of the census numbers, and Waupun is overcompensated with resources.
Yep. I mean, and we can also do, you know, a racial breakdown, right? There's a lot of Black and brown folks that tend to be incarcerated, especially in Milwaukee. 53206 is the world's most incarcerated zip code. So we see how, you know, not only the allocation of resources is unequitable, but also people's access, like I said, to change their material circumstances. They can't even have their voices heard in that process.
Yeah, that's an injustice we got to repair. And other states are doing that, too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're falling behind those states, too.
Yeah.
We got Mark from the SAC. Mark, always happy to hear your voice. We got about a minute, so let me know what you got.
Yeah, thanks. Part of the whole rehabilitation system for people that have been incarcerated that should be restoring their rights, including the right to vote. It should not be up to, you know, individual organizations. That the state itself or the government itself should be offering, telling people when, you know, how to reestablish themselves as have full citizenship rights. That it's sad that we have to do this. That it takes this kind of action to restore people's rights as citizens of the United States of America and restore their rights under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution as amended by the 15th, 15th, 19th, 24th, and 26th Amendments.
Thanks, Mark. I mean, we do need to restore people's rights. And to do that, we got to change the law. And to change the law, we got to elect people to the Assembly and the State Senate who will agree to do that. So you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, co-hosting here with Angela Lang. We'll be back in a minute with Peter Barker, who's running for Congress.